Yeah. Morning, Saturday morning. It's hot and cold. We're here. It is cold out, boys and girls. And we'll talk about that in a minute. That was John Prine. And, you know, we lost John last year to COVID. And he had other health things going on. The more I listen to this man, the more he just... I mean, I've always been a John Prine fan. But I, as one who has written things down, you know, I used to write for the Bangor Daily News. I just am overwhelmed by the way he put songs together. They're just so amazingly good. And he never stopped. He never, I remember when he first, when I first was aware of him, which was like 1970. You know, it's only 50 years ago. It's only 51 years ago, Tom. And, you know, he still had that same edge after all that time, all the things that he went through. He had a lot, like I say, he had a lot of health things going on. It was a big loss for the music world, such as it is. Anyway, good morning. I don't mean to be maudlin, but I just came across that cut, and I was like, God, another good John Prine song. So, last weekend, I had people sending me texts as to how to do drain plumbing. I've been around. I know how to do drain plumbing. I appreciate the guidance. But I got up Sunday. I've been mapping this out of my head. And the reason I was mapping it out for so long wasn't the plumbing per se. I know how to put PVC pipe together. It was the fact that I was going to disconnect the only toilet in the house and all the sinks and the where they go out of the house to the septic system and then replumb it all. So I didn't oversleep Sunday morning, but it took me a while to get up to speed. I mean, I just had to get in the zone, had to get the adrenaline going, get the recip saw out, and just start cutting the hell out of everything, which I did. What I first did, I didn't shut off any water. I did put the seat down on the toilet, put something on top of it, and flushed the toilet a couple times just to cleanse, you know, let's cleanse the pipes. And I go downstairs and I get the recip saw and I actually brought home rubber gloves, mainly because I had the open wound from the week before. So put on the rubber gloves and I head at it. Cut the part out I needed to cut out, which would be a new interface to go to the new bathroom. And got that back together probably in 15, 20 minutes. It did not take long. It all went together well. And I could tape off the Y that was going to go to the rest of the house, and the bathroom was again functional. And then came the fun. And it wasn't horrible. It wasn't tedious. It just took a while because I had to sort out going around all the stuff that was in the way that wasn't there when I originally plumbed the house. And make sure the pitch was right and make sure that I get the right angles. So I had to come off a Y, get an angle, turn a 90-degree turn, and then head towards the kitchen where I had to re-tie in the kitchen sink, the laundry sink, and the washer hookup. And it just took a while. It wasn't a big deal. The biggest hassle when I cut everything apart. I knew this was an issue, but it became a little bit more of a challenge, a little bit more of an annoyance, a little bit more disgusting when I realized the degree that the toilet flapper valve was leaking. I knew it was leaking a little bit. Well, it was more than a steady drip. So that was, you know, just made it more fun. But got that all back together, and it wasn't, I mean, it just spewed water everywhere, but it is what it is. You know, anything like, you know, here's the thing. If you're sitting having breakfast and you think, that's disgusting, oh, what a horrible thing. It's all washable. Okay, that's what they make soap for. They make antibacterial soap. That's what it's for. when you cut into the septic system or the sewer line. So I swing around the corner, and I'm now taking out all the old drain pipe. And all the old drain pipe has slime mold growing in it because it's God's world and slime mold grows everywhere. And it's black. So it's easy to see where I've dropped it. And so I cut the pipes and I want to get them out of the basement. And, of course, I have to get them upstairs and trying not to make a mess, which didn't happen. So, but got it all outside eventually and worked my way across. And excuse me, as I'm tying things back in, you know, there's more slime mold that comes dribbling out. It was a good time. But so I got done. I started around 10:30. And I had two trips to the hardware store for a couple of fittings. So I needed some 22.5-inch degree, 3-inch elbows. And I'm looking around. I thought, I have some of those. And I'm looking around. I've got everything kind of set up together in species and degrees and sizes. So I just can look and say, oh, I need this. I need that. Couldn't find any. So I go to the hardware store in Belfast, 9 miles from where I live. I get a couple of 22.5s. So I get a couple other things just thinking ahead. Come back, put them in, and I look down on the floor. There's two 22.5-inch degree elbows sitting on the floor. The heat of the moment, I didn't see them, or there's a ghost. I'm not sure which, but the ghost makes me save a little bit of face, perhaps. Then later that same afternoon, I had to go back for, I forget, I think maybe a no-hub connector. Or a reducer or something. So, and anytime you make that trip of 9 miles one way, I will buy extra fittings just because I don't want to go back again. But it all worked out well. I got done around 2:30. So that was about 4 hours. I didn't stop for lunch. I was going on adrenaline. I mean, you know, once you're in it, you got, well, I got to get this done. I got to have the kitchen sink back. We've got to do laundry. My wife's going to freak out. She will freak out if the washing machine's not hooked up. So the got it all hooked up again. And then I think, well, okay. Oh, yeah. I dribbled slime mold water and sewer water all over my house to get to the door. Oh, okay. Now we got to clean. And of course, mixed in with this was all the cuttings from cutting PVC pipe. And, of course, that got all over the place as well. So it was a good time. The cleanup really wasn't that bad. It didn't take terribly long. It all looks pretty sanitary at this point. No leaks. Everything went fine. And I appreciated all the good gestures and goodwill from all the folks who were, as we discussed this last week. And this morning I picked up a replacement flapper valve for the toilet because I don't want to go... If I ever have to cut back, well, I don't want to waste the water. I don't want to overwhelm the septic. You can get into trouble with too much water in the septic system. We don't want to go there, by golly. And we do have to go here, though. We got to take a break. It is already 8:16. And, yeah, guy talks a lot. We'll be right back.
Such a night.
Wait a minute. I got two of these. Oh, my goodness. Oh, stop it, Tom. Oh, okay. Did I cue up? How did I do that? It's magical. Let's try that. All right. Okay. It's Saturday morning, and Tom screwed up the audio. So let's start over. We're going to start again. And now back to Tom Gosey. There we go. A little bit of Van Morrison. Just a little bit. Oh, man. Calm us down. Let's set the tone.
We were born before the wind.
All right. Thank you, Van. That's the tone, doesn't it? It calms things down. I mean, we're talking about septic systems and filth. Let's change the subject. There's been a discovery in Thailand that they found that something from the mangrove root or something will make your hair grow. So we're waiting for that one to come. I mean, it may not be too late, May not be too late. I don't have to work on a comb over if that's the case. And I wrote down the name of the product, which it's not legally, so there must be a black market for it. Avisquinone C. And that's just what I know I could use. And it makes your hair grow. It stops hair loss and makes your hair grow. That's what I need, is to be more hairy, because from my eyebrows down, the sky's the limit. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Why do you listen to this radio show on Saturday mornings? What is wrong with you? Text line is 601-207-4478. Big news. Tom Jones has announced, and I got Tom Jones somewhere on here. I've got all these. I've got so much stuff queued up on this radio station that it just kind of amazes me, and I'm not going to find it because I'm looking for it now. It's not there. How could we? If that Rick got rid of Tom Jones, he's going to hear about it from me. It's probably buried somewhere. Anyway, Tom Jones, the immortal Tom Jones. God never take Tom Jones from us. I found it. Okay, let's go. Let's get the machine. Yeah, a little bit of Tom Jones in the background while we do this. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Tom Jones, Sir Tom Jones, got his second COVID shot, and he has announced that he is now bulletproof. So we're happy to hear that. Thank you, Tom. I'm glad that you're bulletproof, and hope that doesn't inspire any lunatic to go after you. What else? My friend Jim, who lives down in Southern Maine, I've been conferring with him a lot about different things to make sure I'm doing stuff in sync with code. Because code changes over time. And I don't sit around reading building codes, although I probably should, given what I do. But he built a house a few years ago on a radiant slab, and we discussed options in terms of what he could use. And he wound up getting what they call a combi boiler. It's natural gas in the town he lives in. And the combi boiler is boiler and hot water all in one. It's like an instant water heater, but it also does space heating. And it's been over a week now that they've been trying to figure out why it keeps kicking off. And, of course, the electronics and the sensors, and they're guessing it's grounds, and they're going round and round and round. And he figures, and I'm not sure he's all going to get built for this, but he a couple days ago, they weren't done with it yet. They're into about 20 hours. Now, I would think in Southern Maine, a heating place is charging you $100 an hour, or close to $100 an hour. I hope I'm wrong for his sake. I'm hoping that maybe they say, you know what, we didn't fix it. We're only going to bill you for 10 hours or something like that. But he wound up replacing a blower that had, there was only one in the whole state, and that was in Bangor, so they shipped it down to him. That didn't solve the problem. They went around fixing grounds or redoing grounds, thinking that was the issue. It wasn't. He was able to nurse it and make it run so he could heat his radiant floor, and finds that the house only loses about a degree overnight because of the mass of the radiant floor, and the house is really well insulated because he and I talked a lot about insulation, and he's glad he did it now. And he says, "Well, Tom, you know, I can see the six years he's got this boiler. So I could see that, you know, maybe there's another 6 years in this thing, and then I'm in $4,000 again." So we had discussed at the time the option of putting in two tankless gas water heaters, which one in particular, the Takagi, will function both as a, you can use it as a boiler or a water heater. And they're like under $700 each. So the qualification is that the standard Takagi water heater is maybe 82% efficient, Combi boilers probably a lot more than that, maybe in the mid-80s, high-80s, I don't know. So we chatted about it. It was middle of the day. I was at work. He was at work. So I said, well, let me look at when I get home at night. And I got home, and I did a little bit of research, and I found a couple of interesting things. Takagi makes a condensing gas water heater that's 93% efficient with a 15-year heat exchanger warranty, which is the weak point as far as I'm concerned. But he can buy one for domestic and one for space heat. And his concern, it wasn't so much losing heat. He could throw an electric heater in the room and keep the house comfortable. It was no domestic hot water. You know, you're babysitting. And fortunately, he can jerry-rig it. I don't know if he's hitting the reset or what he's doing to get domestic hot water as they need it. Just two-person household, so it's not a big deal. But the beauty of the condensing, and I think the regular unit too, is they vent with PVC pipe, and they're pretty cheap dates. So he, I didn't speak to him yesterday. Maria said, you know, how often did you talk to Jim this week? Well, between my stuff starting last Sunday and his stuff, and then whatever, we've been on every day this week, a couple times, just trying to make sure. You know, he, if I can offer some guidance, I did. But the, I didn't call him yesterday. I usually talk to him once a week. And it's like, you know what? The good thing we're not paying for these phone calls. So I'm curious as to where he landed, if they solved the problem and what the, ultimately the bill was. Because if the bill was actually 20 plus hours for service that didn't solve the problem, that's got to hurt. And hopefully that's not the case. On it, for I mean, it hurts for the contractors trying to sort it out. But by the same token, you've got an electronic device that kind of tells you through the built-in diagnostics what is going on. And obviously that didn't work right when giving a clear-cut solution. But it was the kind of thing that you know, if you're a service person, you should have a clue. This is current technology. It's not something that's 40 years old. So anyway, that was my sidebar heating thing for the week. My heat's been fine. I've been throwing wood in the wood stove in the evening just for kicks, and getting it up to around 75 just because it seems like the thing to do. And my wife is upset. She says, this is not winter yet. I'm like, wait a minute. You're at home all day. I'm the one who's got a sweatshirt, flannel shirt, coat, heavy winter coat, thermals, who's out there with the wind blowing. It's cold enough for me. And this morning, of course, you know, this morning wasn't bad. It was 9 degrees when I left the house. It was 5 up here in Bangor at Home Depot this morning, but it wasn't windy. And it was dry, and it was reasonably comfortable. Of course, I didn't stay outside for very long. I scurried into Home Depot, got my stuff, and I scurried out again. Speaking of scurrying, we're going to take a break. It is 8:30 straight up. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. Stay with us. Oh, boy. It's 8:36 on hot and cold Saturday morning. The Texas Tornadoes. Flaco Jimenez playing that accordion. Oh, man. Freddie Fender, Flaco Jimenez, and Doug Saldana. Douglas Somm, the Texas Tornadoes. Great group. Great group. I can't play enough of them. I try, by Godfrey. Speaking of getting enough of something good, I want to mention my friend Alan over at General Appliance and Breweries on Center Street, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, you want to check him out or give him a call. Better yet, 989-4341 is the number, 989-4341. The phones are stacking up here. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I got a comment.
Okay.
That song, End of the Mystic?
Yes.
There's actually a wrong chord played in the bridge of that song, Tom.
Give me a break, Bob.
You laugh, but you know what? I was asking a guy that worked years ago in the recording industry, and I ran that by him. I said, how would they let the master tape go with a mistake in it? And he said, well, they might have done it 15 times, and they just figured that was good enough, and only nerds like me or someone else would ever even care.
Okay.
And I thought about that since then. I know what the answer actually is.
Yeah.
I'll bet you 10-1 that was the first run through after a rehearsal of that. But his lyrics are so, his vocals are so strong.
Oh, God. Well,
you know what I mean? If you listen to that, his vocals are so strong, they just said, you know what? It's never going to be done better.
Well, or they were high. Could have been that, too.
Probably both.
But, hey, I have got queued up for later in the show, downstream a little bit, Van Morrison with a guy by the name of Joey DeFrancesco. And I caught this before I knew who Joey DeFrancesco was. And Joey DeFrancesco is a Hammond B3 organist. He's a big man, physically large presence. And I came across Van with Joey on YouTube because they did an album together. And I found the album this morning. And it is great. The Hammond B3 organ music is what I listen to when I'm working on the addition. And it just
only you, Tom. Yeah. I got a car question.
Oh, yeah, this is the kettle call asking. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, on electric cars, like in this type of weather, when it's below zero.
Yeah,
just the fact that you need heat in the passenger compartment, doesn't that drastically affect the driving range of an electric car? An all electric car, like a Tesla.
Well, it. Not a lot as much as you might think, because I do know most of these cars are using heat pumps to heat and cool. So so that amplifies the electrical usage by a factor of 3, basically, maybe 4. Also, I don't know if any cooling off the batteries or the electronics is used to heat the passenger compartment. Now, if you think about... An electric car might have a 100-kilowatt motor, which is pretty substantial. If it's 2% inefficient, you've got 2 kilowatts of electricity going into that going somewhere, being dissipated. It may be 5% inefficient. If that's the case, you've got even more. So I don't know, but I don't know honestly if they shunt that energy into the cab. They should. But then the other thing is, if the car is plugged. If the car is plugged in on a morning like today, it's just plugged into the charger, the car will keep the batteries warm, so your range doesn't diminish, and they may siphon some of that heat off. I really don't know because I haven't laid hands on any real production cars yet.
Because on a gasoline engine, if you have a smaller car, when it's really cold out, you must notice it takes forever for that engine to warm up. Just the amount of energy that heater core is taking away from the engine is actually enough so that that right now the thermostat actually never opens, or it doesn't open for a long, long time. In other words, that is providing all the cooling for the engine.
I noticed that this morning. Cold. I noticed that this morning, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
go ahead.
I got a 2017 Prius Prime Advanced this week at the auction. Have I talked to you about this? I don't think so. It has, and you and I as service, but this is my friend Bob, who is the car mechanic, and I'll spell that later on for people. This car has so much electronics in it. It has a heated steering wheel. It's got a huge screen in the center of the console, and I look at this stuff, which I love as a user, and I think, what happens when it goes to Bob for service because something broke, like the lane avoidance, or
right.
I know.
Either we have to retire, someone my age, or really go back and really dig in and gear up mentally.
Well,
tool wise, to deal with all this, because it's inevitable. It's going to be an avalanche.
Yeah,
really.
And it is more computers. Really. Basically, it's going to be more computer stuff because it's easy to diagnose if you can just plug in, an OBD2. But this is a level of complexity that I'm wincing at. I'm marveling at it. It's amazing. We have a Ford Fusion hybrid that is 7-8 years older. And even that, I get into it. I'm like, this is kind of cool. But
hey, I got another question too, Tom. The electrical grid in America, because now obviously there's a drive towards electric vehicles, and the the people that think they see the future, they see a future where either you know, a substantial number of cars going to be electric, or a majority of the cars going to be electric. But at what point does that become a problem for the grid and how much electricity this country can produce every night? Because if everyone's, say if half the cars in America are electric and every night everyone's plugging them in,
yeah,
isn't that going to be a problem?
I don't know. I think the saving grace is that it is not happening overnight. So as the load does increase, the marketplace, in this case the grid, can respond accordingly.
It's going to have to respond in a big way, in my opinion.
It
I'll
is.
Tell you why. Because of the BTUs that are required to drive the fleet of vehicles that are now ICE engine, you know, ICE cars, internal combustion engine.
Yeah.
If you measure that, if you quantify that, that's one hell of a lot of energy.
It is. It is. Yeah, I agree.
Mind-boggling, actually.
You know?
Because Dick Hill used to talk about this. The thing with the fossil fuel, you know, gasoline and diesel, it's a very dense energy packet. You know, it's very dense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'll get off the phone and let someone else talk.
Okay. Well, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is my friend Bob Sanders, the Karma, K-A-R-M-A, Canic, K-A-N-I-C. And I'm not sure if he, I don't know if he wants any new customers or not. He's a one-man shop, very busy, most capable, one of the more capable mechanics I know, and a good friend. So thank you for calling Bob. So, you know, we could sit here and talk for the other hour and a half if we needed to. Let's see. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text line. We got some texts that have come in. 601-207-4478. Linda says a big black contractor bag might have saved you a lot of dribbling. Just saying. This was coming from a couple of different directions, Linda. But yeah, it was beyond that, and I had to get the thing put back together, and I was only my one set of hands, unfortunately. What happens when you have a power outage and we have electric vehicles? Can you charge with the generator? Yes. If it's a sunny day and you're at home and plugged in, you could potentially be using the PV array to charge. And in a lot of cases, you can work it backwards, where you can run the household off the electric car. Tom, would you recommend two mini splits or a larger heat pump with one condenser and two internal evaporators to heat a 1,200 square foot house with two levels? It really is hard to say. I think a contractor who's coming in to look at your house can advise you better on that than I can. I would say probably a two outlet mini split is what we're talking about. So it would be a bigger outside unit with running the two inside units. And that's a common thing. It's nothing unusual about that. So it's going to be based on what the heat load of the building is as to whether or not it's feasible, or you have to have two separate units. And you can have more than just two outlets inside the house as well. Well, let's see. We're going to hit the button. We're going to talk. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello?
Hey. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a question. It's not really about cars, but I've been hearing about this aerospace company that's trying to launch a rocket tomorrow up in Limestone using biofuel.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if your guys had any opinion about how you...
Oh, we lost you. Well, I got the gist of the question. You know, there's a lot of bio related stuff that is kind of more a marketing ploy than not. I'll give you one example, and I know somebody's might call me and bust my chops about it. They talk about bio based spray foam. Well, you mix a little bit of biologically based oil in to the oil or that is used to make the foam. But it's, you know, maybe 5%, and I think it's more for marketing than anything. The difference here with bio-based fuels is the fact that in a state like ours, if we have the opportunity to generate all this biomass by way of the forest, if we can fabricate it into a specialty fuel like that, or even a more common fuel, there's an advantage for the state. And I think that's where these folks are coming from. And I'm not sure the rocket fuel market is that significant. I don't know if this is to prove a point or to make a demonstration or to or more of a marketing thing. But I think the basic concept has some legs. There's a lot of stuff done in the name of energy conservation, energy efficiency, energy innovation that is just kind of goofy. I'm going to say this is not one of them. It could be, but I have my doubt. I think it's a worthy endeavor. I just want to see the rocket go up. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I put the thing on the YouTube. I'm waiting, and it didn't happen today. Okay, so I didn't even know it was today that they were trying again, but hopefully they'll make it off the pad, and we'll see something cool. Launching rockets from Maine, I mean, that's just cool. I don't care if it doesn't work. It's cool. We're launching a rocket from Maine. That doesn't happen very often, so I'm excited about that. Over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Oh, they're gone. Oh, let's try it again. There we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Well, morning, Tom. How are you?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Okay. The question I have, I'm kind of wondering about an advertisement. The new 2021 Bronco kind of looks like a Land Rover Discoverer there. Looks like a fully-size SUV. I'm kind of interested. I'm seeing it says 1.5L, as in 1.5 liter EcoBoost motor.
Yeah.
It just strikes. I've always been an advocate of small engines.
Yeah.
They seem like you get more out of a small engine than you do riding around with something that's got 400 horsepower all the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to put a 1.5 liter motor, possibly, you know, maybe evidently an EcoBoost is probably turbocharged.
Yeah.
But awful small motor to be putting into medium-sized SUV.
Well,
just kind of wonder if you knew anything about the updates on that.
Anecdotally, yes. I had a six-cylinder long bed F-150 that's EcoBoost. I thought, boy, this is peppy. This is really this truck can get out of its own way. And then I discovered EcoBoost is a turbocharged motor, so yeah. Hence the difference. Some of them, I think, have two turbos. I don't know. I think a four-cylinder probably would have a single one, but I'm sure that thing, you know, the marketplace for Broncos is a certain clientele, and they're not going to want some logy thing that can't get up to speed. I suspect, you know, Ford made a commitment to that. I'm a little nervous about turbos in anything, and I didn't know that EcoBoost was a turbo when I got that truck. It ran fine, but I'm skeptical of, and you are more the mechanic than I ever will be. At some point you're changing out that turbo, and is that going to hurt real bad? Is this one of those vehicles where the turbo is buried in the back and you got to take the cab off to get to it? I mean, what is I still wince at that. I know I rave about it too much. Who the hell thought that up? And shouldn't they get hit upside of the head for doing something that stupid?
Engineers on a CAD, they just kind of, they don't realize what's involved in a wrench turning part of it because they don't do that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just seemed like an awful small motor
to
move around maybe a 4,000-pound vehicle. But, you know, there again, I guess if it works and, you know, if the guarantee is, the warranty is good enough, then so much the better. But just to me, you know, and here again, I like the smaller engines. You know, I wish we could go back to small four-cylinder engines, and get 30, 40 miles to a gallon without all the complications and, troubles that accompany, adding on all this stuff, whether it's turbos, superchargers, it's, multi-overhead cam positions, 32 valve engines and whatnot. It's just way too complicated. And I think, you had Bob on there earlier, I believe, and I'm pretty sure he can kind of concur with that because the complexity of things nowadays is just nuts.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be waiting for Pete to get on.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.
I have this guilty pleasure of, back when I was a kid, you're going to find this hard to believe, I had a Volkswagen, actually a couple of Volkswagen buses. I know. And so there's a website you can look at called the Samba, S-A-M-B-A, like the dance. And the Samba was the name, what I think the Germans called one version of the Volkswagen bus. So the split windshield Volkswagen bus that was made up to 1967, if you try to buy one of those today that isn't a rust catastrophe, for a decent one that looks nice, as if it's been restored, you could be spending $50,000 to $150,000. These are basic simple vehicle. I thought it was complex when I was a kid. Now, oh God, yeah, they were kind of death traps, but I mean, they were cool. They still are. You can buy a junky, rusty one that might run for maybe as cheap as $15,000 to $20,000, and they always rusted. But there is a whole industry out there that makes Volkswagen parts for the classic VW stuff. I'm sure for everything, but. You could probably make, and I think there is a company, yeah, there is. There's a company that makes a complete split window Volkswagen body, a bus body. I think it's $40,000 or $50,000, but it's brand new. And it's cool. So anyway, I just share that just because if you want to look, I think it's samba.com or Google the Samba, you'll find it. Okay, text message. My wife has a 2017 Mercedes sedan with a turbo four-cylinder and 9-speed automatic transmission. Car makes phenomenal power. I bet it does. I had bought a used Mercedes from the dealer up here, or associated dealer, a while ago. It was the SUV, the ML320. Had 160,000 miles on. Had needed a couple odds and ends, nothing bad. And I loved that car. It was just a great car. I paid around $4,000 for it. The car went into limp mode one day for the transmission. I took it to the dealer and they said, well, you know, that's a sealed transmission. We do not change the fluid. And the new transmission is $7,000 or some crazy number. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And I found somebody who dealt with Mercedes, and he get this, he changed the transmission fluid, and it was okay. And I used it for another 20-30K. But the bottom line was, after that, when I got a Mercedes, I took it to my friend Bob, who called earlier, and we changed the transmission fluid. Go figure, huh? We got to take a break. It's coming up on the top of the hour. It's hot and cold. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It is 9:07. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. Hour numero dos está aquí, amigos. And Mr. Joey DeFrancesco and that guy Van Morrison, I've heard of him before. The great album of jazz, if you want to listen. And so I don't overdo it with the Hammond B3 organ music on Saturday morning. I just play it all week long. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. No texts. We got a phone call, so we'll go to the phone. There we go. Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was calling Tom Gozy. Is this?
You're on the air. You're on the air.
Oh, I am?
Yep.
Let me shut my radio off. Your mechanic friend had a question. Now, there's a Jim LeBrack that he's on this channel. It comes in roughly once a week with George Hale and Rick Tyler. And my reason for calling is, as soon as people realize that all this electric stuff, the green energy, the sooner we realize that's really just pie in the sky right now, we're going to devastate ourselves. Just what the governor had ordered, and don't quote me 100%, but hopefully he's listening. He'll call in. He'll give, because your mechanic asked, do we have enough power grid? Just to switch all the homes in Maine to a heat pump would take 8 nuclear plants the size of Seabrook. So if you did the math on how much it would take to charge half the country's cars or even half the state's cars, they give you a pretty good idea if it's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's my spin on it. It ain't happening overnight. This is a protracted thing that's going to take years to happen. GM doesn't say they're going to convert all electric by 2035 willy-nilly. They know what they're doing. This is not pie in the sky. This is happening, and it's going to continue to happen. And it's a function of how the energy environment responds to the electric vehicles. I don't think you or I or Jim or anybody else can point their finger and say this is going to be the way it's going to be. It's going to be over a number of years this will happen. I remember during the ice storm in 1998, a friend of mine called up and said, would we have this problem if we had solar? And I said, well, no, but it's 1998. You know, photovoltaics was too much money. None of that was going to take place. And he asked me, how long would it take? And I said, it's going to take at least 20 years. And then somewhere there's probably a tape of that me saying that. And he was crestfallen. He couldn't believe it was going to take 20 years. Technological change takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's going to happen, though. I mean, it's probably not going to be lithium batteries. It's going to be some variant of that. Obviously, we have limited resources for all these things. But when you look at the difference in the way things function with electric vehicles, it's going to happen. Conceivably, you're charging it at work, you're charging it at home, you're charging it somewhere. But right now, the only place, I mean, if I drive to the radio station on Saturday morning, the only place I'm going to be able to plug into if I had an electric vehicle, which I don't, is the outlet that's outside. It's 110 volts. And that's going to probably buy me for the 2-hour radio show. Oh, gosh. The trip home. Get me back down the coast 30 miles in the time that I'm here palavering. But I don't think anybody... these companies are not banking their futures just because they think it's a wonderful idea. They're banking their futures because they can see the writing on the wall. The fossil fuels are a finite resource, and how we use them makes sense. How we use them efficiently makes sense. And certainly the interim step along the way here is the hybrid car. It gets people's feet wet to the concept. It's not electric. It is an electric car, kind of, but it's not. So you don't have range anxiety. We're still using fossil fuels, but we're using them more efficiently. So I take what anybody tells me with a grain of salt. It could be that GM's completely wrong. They've been wrong before, but they stepped in the early 90s with the first production electric car in what almost 100 years of any consequence, the EV1, and they pulled it off the market for good reason. It wasn't ready for prime time. It was a decent car, though. We fast forward now, almost 30 years after the fact. And there's a whole hell of a big difference. People aren't paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 for Teslas just to show off. Anyway, you got me started on that one. Let's see. We got some text messages. So they've been selling fossil fuels. They're finite for 50 years, and the companies are just doing what the government is forcing them to do. That's well documented, too. Yeah, I don't disagree. But at some point, if we could be using a photovoltaic array to do our driving. We can't run the whole country necessarily on that, but if we can use the photovoltaic array to charge that car, what's wrong with that? Am I missing something in this equation? If the storage capacity is in the car and you plug it in at work because you have a PV array and you can drive 300 miles at the end of the day, cool. And the cost of the PVs is not crazy. It's not overnight. Please understand that. You know, change doesn't happen overnight, especially this kind of technological change. But it is happening. Can't we stay energy independent till we get... Why can't we stay energy independent till we get to all electric? We still have to use oil, but we'll have to pay more for it. What happened to hydrogen cars? Yeah, we could. I have no problem staying energy independent till we go all electric. Again, this is getting into a political realm. This starts to become a political hot potato. I'll talk about the technological part that I understand. Why aren't we using hydrogen cars, or what happened to them? The hydrogen is hard to deal with. There's no safe, simple way, affordable might be the better word, way to make a hydrogen vehicle. And if you look at a hydrogen vehicle, the hydrogen cars they've talked about for 20, maybe 30 years, those are electric cars. Okay? So all of that electric technology, if there's a battery that works close to what the hydrogen vehicle would work, that's simpler. It's not as complicated. I guess the inherent safety is probably better. Certainly the infrastructure cost is less. Well, let's see. We opened the can of worms here, didn't we? Hi, Tom. Question in the morning is, they have made batteries for electric cars any better? Have they made them any better? Operate in the cold. From what I understand, it's not very good in cold climates like here in Maine. What do you say? A couple of things. Electric car batteries are maintained at temperature, at the temperature they like within the car. So there's some cost associated with that. But a sidebar here, unrelated to the question, or kind of related. I picked up a 2017 Prius the other day for a customer who has a 2017. This is for a fleet. It's a plug-in Prius called the Prius Prime. I got them one, a 2017, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months ago, something like that. They don't plug it in, but they got that extra capacity. The car gets 70 miles per gallon. I bought one this week, and it's on hold right now, but it may be available. I'm not sure. 25,000 miles on it. It got its consumption, historic consumption, is 70 miles per gallon. I drove it down from Bangor in the wintertime, when I don't expect to see this, and I was pushing 70 miles per gallon as a hybrid. So that's the interim step, okay, while we sort out the other issues. It's not yesterday it's going to happen. Let's see. With the phenomenal advances in electronics, today's technology wouldn't be able to run signals through satellites like foreign countries. I don't think I want to have that. I really think everything we do is kind of market driven in this country, as it should be. You can rant and rave about the fact that the governor said this, Biden said that, Trump said this, but the reality is the fact that the market is going to drive what makes sense and what doesn't, and how much we're willing to pay for something. That's why somebody out there likes buying a $100,000 Tesla. Somebody else will buy the $30,000 Tesla, and they're both going to do, you know, it's like somebody buys a Mercedes, somebody buys a Yugo. They don't make Yugos anymore. Anyway, look, I've got to stop because I've got to take a break here. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. We're going to do that right now. When we come back, we'll take more calls, more texts. It's hot and cold. That's what it is. I remember.
Today's the day that all us cats must surely do our bit.
9:21. It's hot and cold. Saturday morning, more text messages coming in. Let's go to Mr. Papa Bear. Says, if it's good enough for John Kerry and his Tesla, it'd be good enough for all us deplorables. Sarcasm filter, please. I ain't got the sarcasm filter. They don't let me play with that. But, you know, if he can afford it, I mean, if I could afford it, I'd have a Tesla. I can't afford it, so I'm not. That's same as if somebody wants to drive a Mercedes or BMW. If they can afford them, God bless them. That's not the, let's see, last question, do all electric cars last longer? Read an article Tesla says will last 1 million miles. That could bring a lot of value to it, the initial cost. Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll last 1 million miles or not, but I can tell you from experience, out the door here, I have a 2007 Prius that I drive every day that I've got I'm going to turn 432,000 miles on it. And it's not consuming oil. It's not doing anything weird. I do not take care of it the way I should. But the blending of the electric car with the gas as a hybrid certainly seems to yield more longevity. I think the same could be said for electric cars. I've been into enough old electric cars, and I mean by old, over 100 years old, that basically if you throw batteries in them, they run. And an example was there was a news clip, though, the past 15 years or so. Mrs. Henry Ford had an electric car, and it's in the Dearborn Museum. They put batteries in it and took it out for a ride. Okay, enough said. What else we got? What worries or not really worries me is that there are 2 billion other people on this planet who would love to live at the level we live at, which is true. When you add them to the grid, per se, has anyone done those calculations? Or do we just assume that most of the people don't care to live like we talk about unfair? Personally, I don't know how we can speak about us saving oil when all these people need to move up to the level we're at. Yeah, well, you know, it's going to happen. Their life lifestyle, their standard of living is going to increase, as it should. And we see that in China and India, and there's an impact. There's more pollution. There's more everything, but that's what's happening. And as a society, a global society, we will adjust. It's not happening. Not everybody in India is getting a Tata car tomorrow, but they are, and it has an impact. And most of those are gas cars, and they are creating issues. They will do what we did in California back in the 60s when, you know, cars would actually stall from not having a proper air-fuel ratio because the air was so nasty. It'll change, and it will adjust. People rant and rave about stupid this, stupid that, you know, so-and-so, you know, one side's bad, the other side's bad. You know, we're all the same freaking people. We may have a different view, but I find that I have friends on the far right and I have friends on the far, far left. And they talk to me about the same stuff. They may be outraged in a slightly different way, but they're talking about the same thing. You know, we're still human beings. We still have the same wants and needs. And how we interpret things could be challenging. Boy, I'm getting close to politics here. I'm sorry. Have you heard anything about new technology where they have lasers that destroys nuclear waste safely? I have not. I have my doubts about that one. I drive for a living. That sounds great. What is that for? Oh, the initial cost. okay. Let's digress to something a little more germane. Tom, we love the show. We have a dehumidifier down in the basement and a humidifier upstairs. Would a heat pump somewhere help? Yes. Heat pump water heater in the basement could make you hot water and dehumidify the basement, so you do not need to run a dehumidifier in the basement. It'll keep your basement nice and dry and give you hot water as a byproduct. So you actually would save money. And that's the kind of thing, you know, 40 years ago, if somebody said heat pump water heater, they were around, but they were stupid expensive and they didn't last. Well, guess what? They do now. Let me make a valid correction that we are the same people, but some of us believe in the truth and some of us are told a lie and the media responsible for all of it. And that goes, finding what is true is a challenge these days. I agree. And it isn't, I'm certainly not going to say it's media alone. We've been saying fossil fuels. Okay. You're so innocent, it's kind of cute. Okay, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
I understand. What do we got here? What do you think about California banning gas cars by 2035? GM's not going to make gas cars in 2035, they say. So does it matter? It's lip service. One kilo of silver in each electric car. Silver is the most undervalued asset on the earth. Okay. I was watching what's that show, Blind Frog Ranch, The Curse of Blind Frog Ranch or something. It's on after Gold Rush, where they're looking for stuff buried in the ground, and they said what, an ounce of silver is $25. So okay, let's do this. If I hit the button there, I have to play some music. What can I play? I queued up the music for this guy. Who's coming on next here, because he's a Braveheart fan. And these guys are from Scotland. You'd have to see them to appreciate it, but here you go, Pete. Pete, the drum speaks to you. How are you?
Well, now you've got some good intro music for me. Thank you. Bagpipes.
Pete, and Pete...
Something befitting. Something to charge the British with, you know?
Yeah. Okay, we found Pete's uncle, my wife's brother, had a DNA test done, and they are majorly Scottish.
Hmm.
I'm not. Pete is.
Well, so nobody's perfect.
Oh God! So
it's cold in here. I've had the heat on for a half hour. It's 52.5 degrees.
Oh right. Well, you're gaining. What was it when you walked in?
I didn't catch it. It was when I did glance at it. It was 48 degrees.
Okay. So. Well, that's warming right up.
So,
we're scratching the surface of politics here this morning, and it's
A little behind the scenes, people don't realize is every Friday afternoon I run topics by you to see if I can bring them up or not. And most of them, the answer is no.
Yeah. And so the topic of conversation, Pete, is electric cars and the mandates or the call for converting to electric cars, and everybody is all wound up about it, you know, and is wound up about the fact that in 2035 they're going to ban electric cars in California. We could be dead by then.
And they're gonna ban them in California?
Yeah, and GM is outlawing. I don't know if they're outlawing, or you can't buy them, probably is more the case. But GM is planning on not making any other kind of car by 2035. So,
Wait. They're banning electric cars in California by 2035?
I think they're probably I think they're banning sales of new electric cars.
Why would they do that?
Because they want to make the transition. California has air quality issues that. I think it's more lip service than anything, but
wouldn't the air quality be better with electric cars?
Yeah, that's why.
So why are they banning them?
Did I say I'm sorry? Banning gas cars? I got it.
Okay, that's why I kept repeating it. I was like, why are they banning electric cars?
Everybody's got me a little wound up here.
No, I think it should be more gradual. I don't think think it should just be like one day to the next. I mean, that you got whole industries that are going to disappear. I mean, think about it. If I would ask the listening public. How many car dealerships can you think of off the top of your head? Now, I know there's probably too many, but if all those cars suddenly go in the trash, it's like cash for clunkers again, where dealerships are just going to fold overnight. And those are, you know, people with families, and they're pumping money into the economy.
You're talking about us.
Buying stuff.
You're talking about us.
Specifically,
they're going to screw us, Pete. Is that
for me?
Doggone Obama.
No, but yeah, I'm being very self-serving here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
All right.
Hopefully, I mean, by 2035, you'll have passed away, and I'll have sold everything and be living large.
So I've got a question, a message here. Pete should be answering these questions. He'd make a great politician.
For governor.
And they actually posted that before you came on. So,
of course they should.
How will firewood get delivered? Electric? I can handle the tonnage over 50 miles. Can it handle tonnage over 50 miles? Yeah. There's a number of companies coming out with electric transport vehicles. They've been around for... Again, 100 years, in different forms.
I'll say I am pro electric cars. You've had them, and if you've had like ones that you just sort of monkeyed together, and I've always been impressed. You pop the hood, and there's nothing in there.
Yeah,
and there's nothing in there. There's nothing to break. It just kind of goes.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I am pro the idea of them, you know. But
and
even in 2035 is still. I mean, in 15 years, that's a fair transitional period, but it's not. It's a lot. faster than you might think.
So I got a text message here earlier. Pete says, you're so innocent, it's kind of cute. I never thought of myself as innocent, but that's no politics. That's why I like your show. A good break from it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Well, that's kind of where we're trying to be. So anyway,
if you were out sick, I'd be like, let's talk about. I want to talk about the election.
Well, Pete wanted to talk about the clean energy corridor, just so you know. I don't want to talk about that.
Controversial topic.
Yeah. It certainly is.
Banning cars.
Yeah. Let's do this though. We'll take a break here. I got to catch my breath.
I've got a fact for when we get back about cars,
man.
And pollution.
I appreciate that. That'd be wonderful. Right. That'll just be wonderful.
Yep.
All right. We'll be right back. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead.
On the outskirts of town.
Okay, we're back. We're back.
What are we listening to?
9:30. Warren Zevon, man. Shut up. any reason for Warren Zevon is okay in my book. So don't. My radio show. You're going to program it a lot different when I'm dead.
All right.
The great song. I used to play that a lot. And I want to make a quick comment. There was a commercial for Tom Cole, realtor down in Brunswick. Tom Cole used to be an engineer for this station. So there. Nice guy.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I looked him up. I made sure it was the same Tom Cole, because there's a lot of Tom Coles out there, just like there's a lot of Tom Gosies. If you get on the Facebook and you type in Tom Gosie, hang on to your hat, because there's a lot of crazy-looking Hungarians over in Europe.
Well, you know what? Funny you should mention that. I looked up my name on Instagram,
yep,
and I am the best-looking Peter Gosie on the planet. Like, by far, I'm the best-looking Pete Gosie on the planet.
Okay.
Like, there's no contest. I'm very proud of that.
Well, there was a Peter.
Some of those Hungarians, they're
kind of crusty-looking. It's a strange group of people.
Deary me. What are they eating over there? They're not hydrated.
A lot of goulash. A lot of pig fat and paprika. I remember watching Anthony Bourdain once in Hungary. And they just were just slaughtering everything. He always showed the where your food comes from, which was fascinating, even though a lot of it I would never want to touch. But when he was in Hungary, it was quite an episode.
Strange Eastern European.
Yeah.
So listen, I've got a PSA. I got a public service now.
Sure.
Here. I don't like it when cashiers call me hun.
Oh, I do.
I don't. I feel like you're talking down to me.
Are you talking about a guy or a girl calling you hun?
Either one. I don't care. There's like four people on this planet that I'm okay with calling me hun. Two are my grandmothers who passed away. So we're down to two.
Okay.
And guess what? You're not one of them.
Okay.
Stop it. Because that last text message where they said your innocence is sweet, that kind of felt a little bit like we were being spoken down to. And I don't care for that.
Well, certainly was, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I find it funny.
I don't care for that.
I think it's funny. We have different take on reality.
I get offended.
Okay. Well, they didn't call you sweet.
There's a lot of people that can talk down to me, but don't call me hun. You can talk down to me, just don't call me hun. It's too familiar.
Well,
not
the thing,
I don't know your name.
The thing that I always
how about this? If you know my first name, you can call me hun.
Okay.
That goes for anybody comes in, looks at cars today. I don't care, guy or girl, you can call me hun.
How's the mutton chop thing going?
Not yet, but here's the thing, I said I'd grow the mutton chops if we sold the 10 individual cars that we had.
Yeah, nobody came in last Saturday, by the way.
We were
swamped.
February, it was by February 14th was the deal. By Valentine's Day, if we sold those 10, 30% of them are gone. So I'm starting to get a little nervous that I might have to grow the mutton chops. Because this is a public forum that I said this in.
When I was a kid, I worked at a golf course, and there was this guy. I don't remember his name. I think it was Dave. And he drove a 1948 Buick. He called it the Big B. And every night he would go to the local bar. I mean, this was his career, working in a golf course. He'd go to the bar and get drunk. Well, he lost a bet one day. And now this is 1970. He comes in the next day with a Mohawk. Now, in 1970, if you weren't some kind of hippie out in a commune somewhere, marching around in a Mohawk was a little bit out there. And he came in. He wouldn't take his hat off. He finally took it off. And I don't know what made me think of that, except something you said. So,
did he have to cut the hair in the bar, or did he?
I think they did it in the bar. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I would say I would back out of that deal. I'd be like I'm welching on that bet. I'm backsliding. I'm not going to do it. I'll do the mutton chops. If we sell like another 7 or 8 cars, why not?
It was upsetting to look at. He had good hair too. I mean, I'm looking in the reflection in the glass here. For me, it kind of wouldn't matter. It'd be like shaving my head because there's the receding hairline thing going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. Let's see. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I had the pollution fact I wanted to share.
Okay.
It's about emissions. We're not talking about waste fuels or what it takes to make gasoline or waste oil or anything like that, but strictly looking at it from an emissions point of view.
Hmm.
If you take the 6 largest cargo ships on the planet, they pollute more than every single car combined.
Okay.
Because they burn a very, very, they're very big, and they burn a very, very unrefined form of petroleum.
Yep.
So, and as soon as they get out into international waters, they switch to burning the, you know, the unregulated stuff, and it just decimates emissions-wise.
Yeah.
So we could literally, if we got rid of those 6 ships, we could double the number of gas cars on the planet, and we still wouldn't have as much pollution as we currently do.
Yeah. Gas cars are pretty clean. I mean, you compare them to lawnmowers and chainsaws and the things that are not regulated.
It's like a bigger plastic bag ban.
Well, it's
not the real issue.
No, it's not. The thing that gets me is if I'm behind an older car,
the
smell of the exhaust is overwhelming compared
to cars in particular.
Yeah, yeah. So, fortunately, they have their place. But
some of our cars have this issue.
That's right. We got some text messages here. I hate it when they call me sir. That makes me feel old. Yeah, me too. Don't call me sir.
Sir, no, sir is fine. I'll take sir and ma'am, but don't call me hun. We don't know each other.
Okay, sweetie.
Remember that guy at the junkyard used to call everybody darling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was
when we were kids back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Mr.
How you doing, darling?
Mr. Dorr lived across the street from us on Center Street. He called everybody darling, too. Yeah, that's an old Maine thing, and that I kind of enjoy that. Pete, you are the only Pete Goetze alive. How do you spell your last name? I don't know if we want to go down that road.
It doesn't sound like it.
let's see. It's not okay. That's from last week. I have to be careful. I'm going to read this verbatim. How can feet be sweet and innocent when is charming?
How can Pete be sweet and innocent when
it says
he's
feet? I don't know if that's a
I think that's supposed to be Pete.
Okay.
I think because they rhyme.
Okay.
And they're spelled differently.
Okay. On the original Top Gear TV show, Jeremy drove a brand new Cadillac in Beijing. He said the exhaust was actually cleaner than the air going into the motor. I believe that. I'm sure that's true. Another one here. Don't call me buddy either. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think I've been called buddy.
Yeah.
It's just the hun. Something about the hun one really grates on my nerves.
All right. Girl calls me hun or thanks, sweetie hun. Or something. That's okay. I'll take that. Especially at my old decrepit age, I think I appreciate it. But usually it's some younger person, and it seems it does seem condescending because I'm old.
It's not that I mind it like on a personal level. I mind it on like a familiarity kind of thing. You know, like I'm sure they're just being like they're trying to be.
They probably,
but it's a little too familiar for me.
They've read the file on you. They know what
you're
all
about. I'm not going to help you move. You know.
Okay. Well, you should.
If that's what you're buttering me up for.
What would it take, Pete, to get a Mohawk to go along with the mutton chops? You ought to do a show after yours.
If you gave me $1,000, I would cut a Mohawk into my hair right now.
Okay.
I'm not selling you anything. You're just going to give me $1,000 in cash, and I'm going to cut my hair. That's the deal.
Okay. Your mother's going to be upset. I want to go. She's upset about the mutton chops, by the way.
Yeah. She'll like them once she sees them.
Can I ask another pollution fact? How much more pollution will we generate moving Canadian oil by truck and train versus pipeline just canceled? I have no idea. And I'm not sure. I'm not even going down that road because that's an area that I am not familiar with. So there.
Let's see. I think we have we had a phone call. It's gone. So
you know what we should have? Yeah. Completely unrelated, but that trucking and train comment made me think of it. I always thought we should have highways specifically for transport, like for big rigs and stuff. I think there should be. You know how, like, when you go on, like, the George Washington Bridge, there's, like, the lower level or something is specifically for trucks, or the upper level or something like that?
Yep.
Something like that. We should have a separate highway system for them so they can just go. They don't have to worry about, you know, so-and-so cutting them off and stuff like that.
Yep.
And merging. And then we don't have to worry about, you know, if you're going to get on the ramp and there's a bunch of big rigs coming in the right lane. How do you know, you got to come to a stop, all that stuff. We'll just build a whole other highway network.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get right on that, Pete. We got a call here. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning. You know, it's so great. You're a good example for the world, you and your son, Pete, how you get along and the way you communicate. And everyone in this world ought to do the same, because we're in a mess. But, I mean, we're going to be better because they ought to listen to you guys. And thank you so much for being on the air and helping all the people you do.
Oh, okay? Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Margie. Take care.
I agree with everything there.
Okay.
She should have ended it with hun, but she should have called us hun.
All right.
But otherwise, I agree with all of that.
How about the phrase, Mr. Man? Yeah, that one kind of gets under my skin. My wife will use that on occasion. Usually,
you know
it's never
that.
In a good context.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
That'd be, yeah.
There's total underground tunnel system. Okay. There's a total underground tunnel system in the United States of America the military's been using for years. Okay.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
Wait. You guys are advocating for electric cars, but you don't know the train over the highway argument. I do know the train over the highway argument.
I'm very half-alecked about everything. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Look
most
up
of the time.
Ford and Chrysler versus trains. Yeah, okay.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to throw an opinion out there and then walk away from it.
Well, GM killed the streetcars, that's for sure, and that was a very efficient mode of transportation. I would have enjoyed jumping on a streetcar. That would have been fun.
There is a whole infrastructure that does need to, you know, not just in sales but in production as well, that needs to be sort of eased in one direction or the other.
Well, when we get to, you know, maybe we find out where these tunnels are. I mean, I'd like to travel in some of the tunnels.
I would like to know more about the tunnels, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah. And here we go with another one. How about PAL? Yeah, that would be one. I've got some...
PAL feels like they don't like me at all. Yeah. I don't blame them because I've worked register.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're saying when you call me PAL, but that one feels just straight up aggressive.
Before, I want to put this out there, and there's not a lot of time, but I'm putting it out there anyway. And Pete's heard me talk about this all week, but it's of concern. I think I said that I had bought some bathroom stuff from Wayfair, bought a shower stall.
Yeah.
And a really nice toilet. Toilet's great. Shower stall is okay, except I'm getting ready to put the shower stall together, and I've come up with a dilemma. The dilemma is this: it's got a tempered glass door, which is nice. It's on rollers and plastic rollers, and that all looks great. The back corner of the shower is a fiberglass reinforced plastic panel, which is what showers are made out of. Then there's two straight panels that come out either side of that corner that are 18 inches by 75 inches that are made out of tempered glass. So I kind of was a little concerned about that, and I've kind of been mulling it over since I got the thing. And then I realized, well, the faucet for, you know, the fixture, the plumbing fixture, mounts through the tempered glass.
Of course.
And it's brass, you know, it's a nice fixture. And there's other mounting things like towel bars and stuff. And all these things go through the holes that are in the tempered glass. And there's no bushings. There's nothing segregating the hard metal from the glass. And I've been around a while, and I know that if you hit tempered glass right on the edge with something metallic, it will shatter into a zillion pieces. And I'm willing to accept the risk with the shower door, which looks okay to me, but I'm a little queasy about these two side panels that have, you know, the faucet and handles and things that maybe you hang on to at the wrong time, and it shatters the glass, and you're standing in your birthday suit in a shower with water coming down.
So that could
shatter if you over tighten it when you're putting the stuff in, right?
I think it could. So I'm going to replace the panels. And I'm still ahead of the game cost wise. I mean, but I'd rather not. But it's I'm kind of put that out, I guess, for next week because we only have 3 minutes left. But I'm going to go back to the messages because they're just coming hot and heavy. Pete definitely needs his own show. Yes, Pete agrees with you on that. Deep military underground bases is what the tunnels are. What about dude? Dude, I can accept. Not many people call me dude.
I think dude. I think dude's just about right. Dude or dudette, you know, for the ladies.
Yeah, and you know, there's a Church of the Dude, and I've been ordained as a minister in Church of the Dude, so supposedly I can legally perform marriages as a minister of the Church of the Dude. Dudeism is what it is.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can. Oh, before you get too far with the messages, cars. We've got we put a bunch of new cars out this week.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to our website, Prius.store, or you go to our Facebook page, you'll see them. I'm just going to run through a couple of makes and models just to give you an idea. I got two Honda Elements. I got a Honda CRV. I got two Honda Fits. I got a Scion XB. I got a Camry Hybrid. I got a nice white second-gen Prius. I got a Ford C-Max, a 2013 C-Max with 100,000 miles. I got a that one's not ready. You know what I do have? And this might be spoken for unless somebody comes in and wants to buy it today. A 2017 Prius Prime with 26,000 miles on it.
Prius Prime Advanced.
It gets 70 miles per gallon without trying hard.
Yeah, I told a little bit.
It's got a heads-up display, like an F-15 Strike Eagle.
And it's in color. And the heads-up display, as you go into different speed zones, it shows you a little sign as to what the speed limit is for the zone.
I could use.
I was using it.
I was driving down Route 1 yesterday. I was thinking, I've lived here for like 15 years. I have no idea what the speed limit is on this road.
Well, it has that, has a heated steering wheel, heated seats, a huge display. Of course, it has navigation. There was something else that was, it has lane avoidance. It's got the radar all over the place.
Yeah.
The big thing.
The price does start with a 2, yeah. FYI. But so,
yeah, and it's not $2,000. But
speak to your local financial institution first.
But one other thing. This is a plug-in, and I think the plug-in aspect is only 15 or 20 miles. It's not a lot. It's good for in town. But if you blend that plug-in capacity with the natural gas engine running, the car averages 100 miles per gallon for a little bit of electricity that it does use. And I don't know how you make the cost comparison, except I think running it electrically is cheaper than running it gas-wise. So it works out well. And it gets about 70 without just running it on straight gas. It's absolutely amazing to me that the car gets that kind of mileage. But
now, that car might be pending.
It is pending.
Unless, of course, somebody came in and bought it today, and then it's not pending anymore.
And somebody's going to be mad at me.
I'll be like, oops, sold it. You just blame it on me. Say I sold it.
We'll play that game. It is.
He didn't know.
Yeah. And Pete's going for a ride with you in this car. We're not letting you out loose in this car without Pete.
I'm keeping an eye on you.
Okay. Well, Pete, we're out of time. We killed it. Another hour.
All right.
All right. Thank you, dude.
Good job. All right. See you, dude.
Okay, hon.
Bye. All right, Alan. Have a good day.
Okay, deal. All right, take care, everybody. Have a great week. It's been fun. Thank you.
Practicality D doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket.